You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
I feel like you've been to church already. Hallelujah. I just love it when God so demonstrates his love and his power to us. Amen. Hallelujah. He started out by telling us prophetically this morning that he has more to give than we've even asked for to receive. Hallelujah. So I'm going to ask. Amen. I'm asking and I plan on receiving. Amen. Hallelujah. And then we were summoned to step out of the boat. Get out of your comfort zone. Step out into untreaded waters. Waters that you've not been in before. Amen. Hallelujah. Who knows that you just may not have been born to walk on water? Hallelujah. Do you think Peter ever really knew he was born to walk on water? But at the sound of the master's voice saying, bid me come. Lord, if it's you, if you'll just give me the word. If you'll just say so, bid me come and I'll come unto you. Hallelujah. Jesus said, come. Come. You want to walk on water? All you got to do is come. All you got to do is get out of the boat. Hallelujah. Sometimes when we're in storms and, you know, Peter said the storm is being tossed about and they see a silhouette on the water and they're afraid and they think it's a ghost. And, you know, sometimes I think we try so hard to hang on to the boat and try to keep everything afloat. And we're trying so hard to hang on. And Jesus just saying, let go. Just let go. Just let go and step out. If you just dare, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Jesus' response to that is always come. Hallelujah, is always come. Hallelujah. So I'm so thankful for this morning, for the word of the Lord to us. Thankful for the praise in the house this morning. My sermon for today is there's no substitute for his presence. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord. See, I don't want to come to church and just go through the motions of church. I want to come experience him. I want to come and be in his presence. And I just have made up my mind, that I'm just not going to force things to happen. I'm just going to wait on the presence of the Lord to make it happen. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get so caught up in what we think should happen or programs or some of those kind of things that we don't take time to just experience the presence of the Lord. Amen. So I want to talk to you a little bit today about presence, the presence of God in our lives. How many know the presence of God doesn't leave you? But our consciousness of his presence in our life sometimes gets distracted. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah, but what about those times when I mess up? Mm-mm-mm. I will never leave you or forsake me. What about when I'm not where I'm supposed to be? He said it. I didn't say it. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we know that his presence is ever with us. Now, my consciousness of his presence sometimes gets distracted. Sometimes I get distracted, and when I know that I should be relying on the Holy Ghost that's in me, I rely sometimes on my own consciousness. I rely on my own strength. I rely on my own ability to cause things to happen. Hallelujah. And so sometimes in my conscious awareness of his presence, I don't tune into really what I know the power of God in me. Anybody else in the house been with me there today? Sometimes, I mean, we know we have the power of God that lives and abides in this house. Amen? We know what the scripture that says, I and my Father will come and take up our abode in you. I will not leave you comfortless. So we are never without God's presence in our life. The Holy Ghost, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, take up their abode. They live in us. Three in one. Amen. The expression of God in this house. Hallelujah. In Psalms 27, David said, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, whatever we desire, that's what you're going to seek after. He also said over in Psalms 51, hallelujah, cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. I mean, though David was in a time of struggle in his life when he makes this statement, he's messed up. David had messed up. He'd made some bad decisions. This is when he had sinned against Uriah, Uriah and Bathsheba. And his prayer unto the Lord is, Father, whatever happens, don't take your presence from, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not away from your presence. I never want to be a place in my life where I can't feel your presence or your Holy Spirit in me. Hallelujah. And so the presence of God in our life is such, you can have the greatest of bands. You can have the greatest of programs. You can have the greatest of facilities. You can have the greatest of all of these things in your life. But if you don't have presence, if you don't have the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost that resides in among us, amen? Hallelujah. See, we didn't come to church today. The church gathered in this building today. Hallelujah. And so as we came together in the house, and as the anointing flows, and as we release the fragrance of our worship in the house, how many know the presence of God becomes more real, it becomes stronger, and it becomes more tangible. We didn't wait for it to blow in the door. Amen. It's not something spooky that it just appears and sits down on us and then it lifts and it goes away. How many know His presence is with us? Yeah. Hallelujah. We release the presence of God. We experience His presence as everyone in the house is flowing together in that worship and in that praise. Hallelujah. Go to Luke chapter 11 for me. Hallelujah. I want to talk about there being no substitute for His presence in our life. Hallelujah. I mean, in a day that we have cell phones, we have instant message, we have Skype, we have, all kinds of ways of communicating. Amen. I got on the computer yesterday and I see these little messages and Morgan and Beth are Skyping on the computer in Georgia. They're Skyping with each other. And so they send me a message that says, Mom, you really need to get Skype. I said, yeah, I really do. But how many know that even in the best of things, when V and Joe's son was overseas in Afghanistan or wherever he was, and his wife was having a baby back home, how many know they were able to Skype in with her, and he was able to see what was happening there in that birthing room when the birth of his baby is being born, even though he's hundreds of thousands of miles away? That's incredible to me. That's incredible to me. Back in the day when, our veterans of World War II were, would take months and months to even get a letter home, and then it would be months and months before you could let her back. But now we can Skype and actually see each other's faces across the world. As great as that is, it's still no match or no substitute for presence. Amen? As much as it's great to Skype to Morgan in North Carolina, it's not as great as her presence being with me and being together in the presence. Amen. So we can hear about God. We can see the word. We can have all of those things, but it's still not like being in the presence of God and living and moving and walking in the presence of God. And as I was thinking about this in Luke chapter 11, Luke 10. I gave you the wrong scripture, I'm sure, Carlin. My fault, not the Holy Ghost. Luke 10 and verse 38, it says, Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful or worried or anxious or troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Hallelujah. I mean, a church must be more than just hosting Jesus. There's a difference in these two women in this scripture. Martha is hosting Jesus. Mary is in his presence. Martha is hosting. Mary is in his presence. And it goes back to what I said earlier. We can get so caught up in having all of everything in order and all the programs and everything that we think that makes successful church. But if we get here and there's no presence in that, then it's just programs. Amen? And I'm not against programs, but I don't think that it's ever a substitute for the presence of God in our life. Hallelujah. And so Martha, Jesus has come to town, and Martha, she's in a whirlwind. She's in a tizzy. She's getting things ready because Jesus is in town. And he's coming to the house. So you know, ladies, she's got to clean the house. She's got to cook the stew or whatever it is she's making. She's got to bake the bread. She's got to make sure that everything is in order because Jesus, this is not just any ordinary guest coming to, Jesus is coming to the house. Hallelujah. And you know, I think sometimes, again, I want to reiterate that we didn't come here waiting on Jesus to get to the house today. We brought Jesus with us to the house. And so while everything that she's doing is good, it's great, it's wonderful, Mary, the scripture says, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now we think, well, Mary, she's just walked in there with her dishcloth in her hand, sit down, and she's just, you know, enthralled by what's going on. But that term, sitting at the feet of Jesus, means that she was a student or a disciple of Jesus. To sit at the feet of something in Bible times meant to be the disciple, to be a student or a learner of him. Paul says he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. There was a scripture where Jesus cast out the demons out of this young man, and the scripture says, and they found him later sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing him and learning from him. How many of you know she's not just casually sitting down and having relationship or communication with Jesus? She's sitting at his feet as a student. She's taking notes. She's hearing him impart some things into her to teach her as a rabbi would teach students. Hallelujah. Let me know there's an importance for hearing and learning the word of God in the at the feet of Jesus. We just sang the song, I want to sit at his feet. I wonder if we know what that means. Drink from the cup in his hand. Lay back against him and breathe. Feel his heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming to me. Hallelujah. See, Martha is in the house. She's busy. She's doing a whole lot of things, but she's so caught up in what she's doing that she hasn't had the time or the moment or the experience to just sit down and experience him, to hear from him. I mean, sometimes even when we come into the house, our mind is so full of everything else that's going on. It takes two or three songs just to get your mind cleared and you're in it in the right direction. Amen. Of where your thought pattern, because we come in sometimes in so much of a whirlwind, either what happened before we got here or what we got to do when we leave or what's going to happen next week, that sometimes our mind is so consumed with everything else, much serving, that it takes us a moment really to be able to just unwind and just to sit at his feet and allow him to speak to him, allow his presence to so fill the room and to so encompass us. Hallelujah. That, we don't sometimes appreciate the very presence of the Lord. You know, I've said to you before, we have no idea what takes place, why we're here, even in the realm of the Spirit and through our worship, that I believe that God does great things among us while we're not even aware even that he's working. How many know he was working on behalf of some of those outside this house today, even while we're here in this house? Hallelujah. That's good news to me. When the Lord is ministering even in other places, hallelujah, because of the prayers and the worship and the things that's coming out of this house. Hallelujah. You know, we talked last week. When Jesus came into Jerusalem and he came riding in and they said, Jesus, you need to silence your disciples. They're crying out, save us now, O King. This is the Savior. And they're crying, Hosanna in the highest. And the Pharisees and those around said, you need to silence your disciples. Do you hear what they're saying? They're calling you the Savior. Jesus said, you better let them alone, because he said, if you silence them, the very rocks are going to cry out in my name. Hallelujah. He said, I'll raise up these rocks to cry out in my name. And I believe that we have no idea seriously what that meant, because I believe he's saying if these voices will be silenced, the very creation itself will not be able to hold itself back for crying out and declaring who the Messiah is and giving a shout of praise, because what's about to happen, I have come to Jerusalem and I'm not leaving without a victory. There's some big things that's about to take place in Jerusalem. So let me tell you, if I hold these people back, the rocks are going to have a concert on their own. There's going to be something breaking loose, hallelujah, in Jerusalem as the rocks begin to cry out. I was in the bathroom this morning getting ready for church and putting my makeup on. I know you're all glad that I accomplished that before I got here this morning. And as I'm standing there in the bathroom, I said, Dan, I can hear the birds singing. They were singing so loud outside of my window this morning. I'm like, yeah, it sounds like spring's coming. They don't know that this is only February, evidently. The daffodils are already up. They're already blooming. Let me tell you, they're in place where they need to be, doing what they know they need to be. And the birds were singing before I ever got a chance to this morning. Amen. There were some birds singing before I got a chance to. I'm guessing there were some rocks singing before I got a chance to get here and do it. And when I got here, I couldn't hardly hold myself back, because I'd already heard the birds singing. I already knew there were some rocks crying out. I already knew there was some good news. Hallelujah. I already knew the presence of God was going to be here today. Hallelujah. And I heard it from a little birdie before I even got here. Hallelujah. He said that the leaves of the trees will clap their hands in praise of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I ain't going to let no rock cry out in my place. Hallelujah. Go over to John chapter 11. So Mary and Martha, they sat at the feet of Jesus. They're friends of Jesus. They love him. He loves them. Lazarus, their brother, they're a friend of Jesus. And Mary has just allowed herself to sit at the feet of Jesus, to be taught by him, to experience him. Hallelujah. I mean, you can learn all about God.